this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming into the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and of course the views of our guest this evening, Dr. Michael Kaufman. And we're going to be talking about global warming. Now, either global warming is true, and everything you read in the newspapers and hear on television and the radio and read in the magazines is accurate, or it is false, and the mass media is lying to you. There's no two ways in between, because certainly the mass media will tell you that everybody agrees. Well, there are a few deniers out there, but science has finally agreed. There's no question at all that global warming related to man's activity is real. Well, the thing is that there is global warming. Nobody denies that. The globe has been warming for probably the last 400 years since the global cooling stopped, and this is one of a number of cycles. And certainly, if we are really having this massive global warming today, and the ice of Iceland and Greenland are melting, why do they call Greenland Greenland? And the reason they call it Greenland is because 1,000 years ago it was green, and Leif Erikson and the Vikings had settlements all along the southern coast of Greenland. And then by the 1300s it had gotten so cold that they had to pull all of the settlements off of Greenland. And it continued cooling for another 300 or 400 years, and now it's beginning to warm again. But what about carbon dioxide? Well, our special guest this evening has put together a DVD to answer all of these questions, because the most significant thing we can do right now is to get the American people to understand that we've been lied to. And if we've been lied to about this by the entire media, then they're lying to us about everything. Michael Kaufman, Dr. Michael Kaufman, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Stan. Always glad to be back with you.
Why don't you tell us what you've learned about global warming? And I'm going to play the devil's advocate tonight. So
sure,
you go
absolutely.
Ahead and tell us why this whole thing is a charade. Because, after all, is there really global warming?
Yes, there is. And that's one of the reasons that they can be so successful, is that it is warming. It's much warmer today than it was 100 years ago. In fact, it's about 7/10 of a degree warmer. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but it is a fairly significant amount when you look at the biological and ecological relationships over planet Earth. The problem is, and this is the question that everyone should be asking themselves, is not whether there's warming, or in the 1970s, whether there was cooling, but what is causing the warming and cooling. And this is where there's a vast departure within the scientific community as to what its cause really is. Before I get into that, let me just kind of lay you out some background. In the late 1980s, early 1990s, I was actually in charge of a multi-million dollar research project on global warming and its effects on our nation's ecosystems. And it was during that time that I was doing this work that I began to realize that there was a huge agenda behind the whole global warming phenomenon that we're seeing. When I talk to environmental leadership, when I talk to government agents and so forth, scientists, even when I talk to some of the scientists within the scientific community, worked at universities and so forth, I begin to realize that there was not true reality being put forth in some of the research and papers and so forth, and especially when it came out on the media. And it was that point that I began to really realize that we had a major problem, because global warming was becoming a major national movement, and there was going to be draconian legislation passed.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Okay.
Go ahead. Pick up the story there.
There was going to be major legislation passed with the Kyoto Protocol and so forth that would be very, very damaging to this nation and its an economy. And I'll talk about that more a little bit later on. But what I realized was that we were in a spiritual warfare, and this was one of the, perhaps the biggest delusions this world had ever experienced. I had never seen such a phenomenon, because everything that I was seeing at the time in the 1980s, late 1980s and early 1990s, was that we were experiencing a natural cycle. The earth is warm, the earth is cooled over the last many millennia. And actually, it was much warmer, as you indicated in the announcement, that about 800 to 1,000 years ago, it was significantly warmer, about a degree, degree and a half warmer than it is right now. And that's when Greenland was actually green, at least along its shorelines and so forth. It's when the Vikings actually colonized Greenland and were having healthy agriculture, where there is now frozen soil and ice. And it's ironic that in Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth, the very places that it's showing massive melting that he uses to cause abject fear in the people that are watching this is exactly where they were colonies of Vikings 800 to 1,000 years ago. And we're now coming back out of that ice age, what's called the Little Ice Age, that peaked about 1600 to 1700, all about 1700 to 1800. And is now just gradually warming again. What we're seeing here can be explained away with no more than a natural recovery from what is called the Little Ice Age. Now, does man have any influence? Yeah, probably. But it's probably a very insignificant amount compared to what is happening naturally. And I will explain why in a moment when we get into the actual mechanics of it. What is so condemning from a scientific standpoint, and it just makes my blood boil, is this graph that Al Gore uses that's a 60-foot-long graph and about 40 feet tall, showing how much carbon dioxide has varied over the last 650,000 years. And then right underneath it, it shows what temperature does. And to the naked eye, it appears that there is a high degree of correlation. And it's designed, that whole graph is designed to make you think that. In fact, if you want to distort something and if you want to hide something, all you have to do is to split the graph apart so the people really can't see the close relationship. And that's what the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has done. It's what Al Gore has done. It's what you see published in different media outlets and so forth. It's this graph showing carbon dioxide, and below it would be the graph showing...
Hold up, all right, we'll be right back. Well, Dr. Stan and Dr. Kaufman is simply pointing out that this whole global warming scam is really being used to justify an attack on industrialized society. Because if we were to have signed the Kyoto Protocol, or when we signed the Kyoto Protocol, it will destroy the industrial base, what small industrial base remains in the United States. This is really a means of attacking Western civilization. That is what is behind this, because it would mean we would have to deindustrialize our entire nation, stop using our cars, stop using electricity, stop using electric heat, stop using air conditioning, stop our machinery running. It would be a draconian change or a wrenching transformation of society. Then Dr. Kaufman brought out the fact that most of what is going on today simply is fraudulent. He talked about the Al Gore's film and the fact that they have this great long chart. And he tries to show, Al Gore does, of course you can tell when Al Gore is lying because his lips are moving, but he tries to show the relationship between CO2 and the temperature change, and he tries to make out that the CO2 precedes, or rising CO2 precedes temperature change. You go ahead and pick the story up there, Michael.
Well, in fact, if you actually were to superimpose those two graphs together, what you will find is the temperature precedes CO2. There is indeed a high correlation, and one of the things we as people need to recognize, correlations are an indication, but they are not proof of anything. And I'll just give you an example. There is 100% correlation that every person that breathes air is going to die. 100% correlation. But that doesn't mean that if you breathe air, you're going to die. In fact, if you don't breathe air, you're in big trouble. And what it basically says, what a correlation says is that there is a relationship between the two, but it doesn't necessarily cause and effect. And what you find is when you superimpose those two graphs is that temperature almost always precedes carbon dioxide. And there is a good mechanical reason, physical reason for that, and that is the fact that our oceans hold about 1,000, well, I don't want to say 1,000, let's say 100 times more carbon dioxide in the oceans than is in the atmosphere. And when the oceans warm up, they release carbon dioxide. They can't hold as much. When they cool down, they absorb more carbon dioxide. So as the oceans warm and cool, the carbon dioxide naturally follows about anywhere from 600 to 1,200 years after the fact. And therefore, if you have the two graphs separate, it appears that carbon dioxide is controlling temperature, when in fact, it's temperature that's controlling carbon dioxide, if there's any control at all. And this is what is so deceptive of this paranoia that we have begun to see, because it's all designed, as you just said, Stan, for one purpose and one purpose only, is to scare the bejesus out of you and I, so that we're willing to shift our control of our industry, of our economy, to an international level. And once you do that, the United States no longer has control over its own destiny. It's up now to a band of people at the international level that really don't care a whit about you and I. And they can control our economy basically any way they want to, because they are supposed to be controlling our carbon dioxide emissions.
Well, let's take a look at carbon dioxide, though. Certainly the level of carbon dioxide has increased from about 280 parts per million to about 380 parts per million since about 1950, 1945, somewhere there. Isn't that almost a third increase in the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere? Can't that actually bring about global warming? Isn't carbon dioxide a greenhouse gas?
Carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas, and they have done physical analyses and so forth to trying to determine what forcing is. Now, what forcing does, it's an expression that describes if there's that much more of this greenhouse gas in the atmosphere, what you're going to see is that much increase in temperature. The problem with that is that it is still theoretical. We do not understand exactly what the dynamics are in the atmosphere. And as I will explain momentarily, that there is a far easier mechanism to understand what is happening with warming and cooling than with carbon dioxide, much more efficient in warming and cooling the Earth than what we see in carbon dioxide. In fact, the ocean warming right now that we're seeing, and it's a very mild warming, but it's probably a warming that was caused by what's called the medieval optimal. Back at about 1200, when the Vikings were colonizing Greenland, it was much warmer back there. It takes almost 800 to 1,000 years for the ocean to respond to what's happening in the atmosphere and express itself in the temperatures and so forth of the ocean. So what we're seeing today isn't what's happening today, it's what's happening hundreds of years ago, probably during the medieval optimal. And the fact that we see, and if we actually had a warming atmosphere, now understand this, if we had a warming atmosphere, it almost takes as much as 1,000 times more heat energy in the atmosphere to warm up the ocean than would be required if the sun itself was actually causing the increase in the ocean temperature. So it can warm up 1,000 degrees in the atmosphere and will only change the temperature of the ocean 1 degree. Over the near term. It's not a very efficient mechanism of warming the ocean. Yet the ocean is warming. Why is it warming? Why did we have the cooling after the medieval optimal, going into the Little Ice Age from about 1200 to 1700 AD? Why did that happen? We certainly didn't have a lot of carbon dioxide emissions by people at that time. And why was it warming between 1700 A.D. and, say, 1900 A.D., before we had the Industrial Revolution? Why did it happen? It certainly wasn't because we were putting a lot of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So something else was going on, and that something else is still going on. And what we suspect is happening, and of course this is still a raging debate within the scientific community, and let me just digress for a moment to say that in the actual scientific community, you have total disagreement, almost a 50-50 margin between scientists that believe that man is causing it and scientists that do not believe that man is causing it. You know, you'll never hear that on the news media, never. What you always hear in the news media is the settled science. There's a strong consensus amongst the scientific community that this is the case. It's hogwash. A survey was done just a few years ago that showed that only 56% of the scientific community that could be involved with global warming in one aspect or another believed that man was causing it. The balance of the people, the balance of the scientists believe that it probably wasn't. And that is actually shifting more and more as more results come out over the last few years. We have scientists who were once dogmatic about man-caused global warming that have done an about-face 180 degrees and are now saying that man can't be responsible for it. Now, what is the big thing that's happened to make them change their minds? First of all, they look at the actual science of greenhouse gas forcing. And there just isn't enough there to explain how come we're having the warming. However, some fantastic research has been done over the last 10 years that is now just coming to light within the larger scientific community that shows that the sun is probably the one that's responsible. It's not hard to imagine, is it? When the sun puts out more energy, the earth warms up. When it doesn't put out as much energy, the earth cools down. That's not a real brainstorm to try to figure that out. However, for a long time, there was this belief, and it's true, that the sun, when it warmed, the warming was not, the energy, increased energy that was output was not enough to cause the warming of the earth that we were actually experiencing. So what was the explanation? Well, they only had the CO2 to fall back onto. However, now there is an alternative explanation. What has been known for a couple decades now is that there is a very high correlation, almost a 96% correlation, with the amount of cosmic radiation that strikes the Earth and other planets in the solar system, and the degree of cloudiness on planet Earth. If you have less cosmic radiation incoming, you'll have less clouding, less clouds, and more actual direct sunlight each reaching the Earth's surface. If you have more cosmic radiation, and cosmic radiation comes basically from super exploding suns and so forth, thousands and so forth light years away, when that finally gets here and you have more of this cosmic radiation reaching the Earth's surface, you have more clouds, less solar radiation reaching the Earth's surface. And as a consequence, when that happens, you either have a warming Earth or a cooling Earth. Now enter the sun. The sun goes through cycles too. The sun, when it's very active, you have a lot of solar storms, mass ejections and so forth, if you want to use that terminology, and sunspots. And we can track the sunspots back to the time of Galileo in the 1600s. And what we found is that there is a high degree of correlation with the number of sunspots and the Earth's temperature. There is a very good correlation. And the more sunspots there are, the more solar storms there are, the more solar energy that is being expended by the sun. Now, the energy itself is not enough to warm the Earth, but what it does is it creates these solar storms that have all of this energy involved in it, and that energy pushes back the cosmic radiation right out of the solar system. In fact, it's not only planet Earth that's warming, but all the other planets in the solar system are warming as well, which gives it a very strong evidence that this is what's actually happening.
We know that the ice caps are melting on the poles of Mars.
Or Mars.
And, of course, the other thing is that what we're really talking about is certainly greenhouse gases only make up about 1% of the atmosphere. And then of the greenhouse gases, 95% is water. CO2 makes up 0.03% of the atmosphere, and we've gone from 0.028 to 0.038%. That is 380 parts per million. Do you really think that's enough to persist the problem? you pick up the story there, Michael.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting story. And on the DVD, I go into all of this and show you the actual science behind it and so forth. And I've led a lot of people who are...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Of the entire atmosphere. Now, do you think that very small amount of a very inefficient greenhouse gas could produce all the global warming we're seeing? And the truth is, it does not. I mean, we have global warming, but global warming is being produced by other causes. But you see, they need an excuse because they want to destroy our society. And Al Gore knows exactly what he is doing. He's part of a little group that was attended a meeting on the Prince Charles's actually yacht back in 1991, where they plotted this whole scam. figuring that the American people would be just too dumb to question what they were told. You were supposed to believe what the media tells you, what Al Gore tells you, and even now George Bush is coming around to accept that global warming is related to CO2 level, and we're going to have to do something to begin to rein in CO2 emissions. Whereas actually CO2 is wonderful. It's plant's food. I mean, without CO2, plants don't grow. And when you have a higher CO2 level, the plants grow better and trees grow better, and it is wonderful for the environment. So you pick the story up there, Michael.
Yes, I don't know how far I got with my discussion on water vapor before my line was dropped, but that was the other side of the issue, and I go into great detail on the DVD about this, too. It is phenomenal how good CO2 is to the earth and the people living on it. CO2, as you just described, is plant food. It basically is what the trees and the plants and the crops and so forth take in to produce green leaves and fruit and vegetables and trees and all the rest. Without it, we would not have any vegetation, and without it, we won't have any food, period. I mean, that's just simple as that. The more, and carbon dioxide is a limiting factor in all plant growth. If you add more carbon dioxide to any plant, you will find much better growth, to the point where if we doubled the amount of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere, we would increase our food production from anywhere from 20% to 40% around the world. That's free fertilizer, as it were. 20% to 40%. 20% to 40%. You never hear that. Absolutely never. And they have tried to they have tried to beat down that number and defeat it and so forth. They come up with all kinds of experimental results showing it's not true. And every time they're shown that the techniques that were used to justify or to do their experiments to show that it doesn't increase crop production and so forth have been erroneous. Nobody's called any of these scientists a liar yet, but they are a liar. There's no question about it. You have to ask yourself the question, why would they lie? Why would all these scientists, these thousands of scientists, lie? Well, their jobs depend upon it. We have about $4 billion a year being spent by the federal government on research on global warming. And let me tell you, unless the scientist comes up with some sort of condemning factor that carbon dioxide is a pollutant and is causing damage to the environment and so forth, they're not going to get their next grant and they're going to be out of a job. It's as simple as that. And you have literally thousands of scientists depending upon all of these grants to feed their families and so forth. Now, do you think they're going to have a tendency to kind of slant the results a little bit to show that global warming is being caused by man?
Well,
you bet they will.
One of our callers just commented, though, that cars put out carbon monoxide, not carbon dioxide. And certainly we hear all the trouble about car emissions, but cars don't put out carbon dioxide. Certainly burning fossil fuel does, but carbon monoxide is the exhaust. So is carbon monoxide a problem?
Carbon monoxide is another greenhouse gas, but I'd have to look it up, but I do not think it's nearly as effective as carbon dioxide is as a greenhouse gas. And carbon dioxide breaks down fairly fast. It doesn't stay as carbon monoxide very long in the atmosphere. Again, I would have to look up to see exactly what happens to it. But I do not think it lasts very long in the atmosphere, so it's not really a major consideration from that standpoint.
Would it actually, of course, take on the additional a carbon atom or part of an atom and then become carbon dioxide?
It's a possibility. I just do not know the thermodynamics of the breakdown of carbon dioxide. I'm sorry, I should have known that, but I just don't.
Well, I mean, I should know it, too, and I was hoping that you wouldn't know that. I mean, basically, of course, everybody's talking about carbon dioxide, and yet, because we know the cars put out predominantly carbon monoxide, not carbon dioxide. And, of course, when you have heaters in the house are putting out carbon monoxide. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, why don't you go ahead and pick the story up there, Michael?
Well, it's one of the things that really bothers me. Talking about the hypocrisy of actually separating graphs a little while ago of carbon dioxide and temperature, we touched on the benefits of carbon dioxide, and they're huge. They really are huge, and it just disgusts me to believe that they're using or making carbon dioxide into a pollutant when, in fact, it's probably the best thing that could ever happen to this planet. Because everything is geared to a much higher level of carbon dioxide. Plants grow better, people do better, everything is better with higher levels of carbon dioxide. And in fact, they have done tests, and we're talking about 250 to 300 parts per million right now. It may go up to more than that, maybe go up to 700 parts per million. So who cares? They have tested things up to 5,000 and not found any harmful effects on plant life or animal life on planet Earth. All it does is get better. And most of your greenhouse gases, or most of your greenhouses that grow vegetables and so forth in the wintertime, will usually carry between 400 to 700 parts per million carbon dioxide within the greenhouses, because it makes the plants grow better. You get better fruit, you get better ripening, you get better flavor, you get better and more fruit. The bigger the fruit itself is bigger. Everything is good with better carbon dioxide. In fact, one of the things that makes it such an attractive benefit is the fact that transpiration and respiration are put more into balance with higher levels of carbon dioxide, and you need less water to produce the same amount of plant growth than you would with less carbon dioxide. And so as a consequence, the marginal areas of the Sahara Desert, for instance, or the western part of the United States, could grow more grasslands or crops or whatever you want to put in it, because they don't need as much water to grow the same amount as they did before. And so everything you look about carbon dioxide is positive, and yet you never hear that side of the story in the popular press. Never. Because, why? Because they don't want people to know that there's a lot of benefits with carbon dioxide increases in our atmosphere. They want to terrorize you into trying to think that unless you pass the Kyoto Protocol or something that's similar to that, we're going to just...
Michael, did we lose you again? Well, we seem to be getting like we're having problems. I'm going to have to... Jorgi, Michael, you're not there? Well, I'm going to disconnect. And Jorgi, if you wouldn't mind calling Michael back, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I'm going to ask Jorgi, you'll go ahead and call Michael back again. Obviously, somebody is disconnecting Michael's line there. One time, maybe an accident, two times. Well, you can't, who knows? Maybe it's just an accident the second time. Well, a caller wanted to know about air pollution in Los Angeles, like the ozone produced. And, of course, you go into a place like Los Angeles, where you had a lot of the emissions from cars, you did have, a lot of smog there. And most of this was actually produced by diesel trucks. And they would tell you, you don't have to worry about those black plumes of smoke coming from the diesel trucks. There's nothing to worry about. That's not producing the smog. Let me tell you about the nitrous oxide and things like that. Well, they were simply lying to you. They wanted the problem to persist. It wasn't until they had all of these controls in that they finally then going after the diesel trucks, because certainly in an area like Los Angeles where you have a basin, and then, of course, you had the diesel putting out those plumes of black smoke, you were going to get that haze. And you could drive and fly right along the freeway and look out there, and you could see right where the freeways were. And I used to flying in small planes. And you could just follow the black plumes of smoke right along the freeway where the diesel trucks were putting it out. But they specifically did not try to limit that at all, until they had everything else in place. And then suddenly, oh my goodness, now the diesel is a real problem. So this was all a scam. In other words, they wanted the problem, and yes, certainly in Los Angeles, there is pollution, air pollution, No question, but we're talking about global warming. We're not talking about the pollution problem. And even in Santa Cruz, where I live, where we have probably the cleanest air in the entire state, they want to put on all these controls. Why? Because they want to put controls on. That's what it's all about. And I'll never forget one time I went to a meeting of the environmental group. I forgot whether it was a local transportation committee. And they were talking about how, you know, we were putting something like 14 tons of pollutant in the air every single day. You know, and they wanted to put in pay meters in doctor's offices and churches to discourage people from driving their cars. And I got up and said, look, we've got the highest, best air in the entire state. There's only one day in entire last year when our standards exceeded the California standards, which certainly exceed the federal standards. I mean, this is not a problem. And somebody jumped up and said, I don't care if it was just one day. We have to have these regulations to control. It's all about control. Well, Dr. Kaufman, you go ahead and pick the story up there. Now, first of all, how can people get in touch with your website? When will your DVD be ready, and how will people be able to get it?
The DVD should be ready by the 1st of July, and we have a trailer and so forth available. And I actually have created a website called globalwarmingglobalgovernance.com. That's globalwarmingglobalgovernance.com that you can go to and watch the trailer and see how this is going to actually be presented. It is one of the most powerful DVDs I have ever seen, and I produced it. I'm almost bragging here, but it is a very, very powerful DVD. And if you have somebody that's skeptical, now if you have someone with a closed mind like Stan has in Santa Cruz, I mean, I've met those people. You could tell them the truth up inside one side and down the other. They don't care. They have their minds made up. They want to live in ignorance. And you're never going to convince someone like that. However, if there's most of your population, most of your friends and neighbors and so forth believe that man is causing global warming, but they will still have an open mind. And let me tell you, once they see this DVD, it'll blow their minds. In fact, there was an actual presentation done in March by what is called Intelligence Squared in New York City, that where they had about 500 people in an audience, and they had a debate between the global warming alarmists and the skeptics. And before they actually started, there was 2/3 of the audience that believed that there was man-caused global warming. By the time they were finished, an hour and a half later, that had changed and had actually flip-flopped in reverse. Because the actual evidence for actual man-caused global warming is so skinny. I mean, it's just almost non-existent. And the evidence for natural causes and so forth is overwhelming. That even in an hour and a half discussion, they actually switched the sides dramatically in that particular thing. And you'll find that this DVD does the same thing. And we go one step further in this DVD, is that we talk about why it's being done, why Stan is hammering on this almost every night and so forth, is to institute what they call global governance. And we have interviews with politicians, we have interviews with experts, we have interviews with, you know, both on the science side of it as well as the global governance side of it, and it pretty much lays out exactly why it is they're pushing this global warming agenda so hard. Is because they need to have control over our economy. That's as simple as that. Until they get control over the U.S. economy, the U.S. is still autonomous, and they cannot gain the final control as they want to over the world.
And I think that's
as simple as that.
That's just as simple as that. That's what it's all about. They set up a straw man, and of course, when we knock down the straw man, we've got to give up our freedom. Well, somebody called in, I don't know if you know, if you want to touch on this, asking about the effect of chemtrails and global warming. Do you want to touch on that or not?
Well, I'm really not an expert in chemtrails. I'm fascinated by it, but I just don't have the time to explore it, so I really don't know that well about it, other than just the surface information, which most of the listeners probably knows more than I do.
All right, fine. I would simply comment for our caller that we do have a 4-tape set on chemtrails. The second 4-tape set actually talks about some writing that Edward Teller had done, suggesting that If we were to do a spraying, a solar spraying, and create an overcast, where we might be able to control global warming better that way, and that may well be what it's about, but it's all top secret, classified, you know, because we don't want Osama bin Laden to learn what's going on, so we cannot let the American people know, because somebody would tell Osama. That's why none of this information is available, but there's no question chemtrails are real. What are they doing with them? Well, maybe one day we'll find out. Anyway, so we're not going to be accepting any calls unless Dr. Kaufman really wants to take them. Now, certainly I think your point is well made, that this is a scam. It is a very, very carefully coordinated scam. It presents a problem that certainly threatens to destroy civilization. And what is the answer to that problem? A new series of draconian government laws that will take away all of our freedom and destroy industrialized society. Would that be a fairly safe statement to make, Michael?
That would be a very, very safe statement to make. It's not necessarily that they intend to destroy the Western civilization, but they want to control it. Western civilization depends upon the free markets, and you cannot control free markets the way they want to control them. And as a consequence, the natural outcome of what they want to do is the destruction of Western civilization. And really, folks, they don't care if we reduce our standard of living by 50%. In fact, this was brought out in this Intelligence Squared debate held in March with these 500 people, with one half of the debating team being the skeptics and the other half being the alarmists. One of the alarmists was Michael Crichton, you know, who wrote the book Jurassic Park and so forth. And he is a very intelligent man. He's actually a medical doctor, just like you are, Stan. And so he has the credentials to understand what's going on. And one of the things that he made that I thought was very appropriate is that these elitists have no intention of ever changing their standard of living. They have no intention. All their environmental leaders and so forth still jet around in their private jets and so forth. They still carry on the same standard of living they've always had. And he was being really critical of the very people that are saying that we have to change our lifestyles, that we have to cut back, that we have to do without electricity, that we have to do without air conditioning and so forth, have no intention of ever changing what they're doing. Why? Because they're above it all. They don't think it applies to them. They literally do not think. In fact, I've actually asked some of these people in the past when they didn't know who I was, why they would do this, and they were astonished that I would even bring it up. Well, of course we don't have to change our way. We're above all that. These people are arrogant beyond belief. Literally arrogant beyond belief.
Well, certainly Al Gore says that he is going to, of course, neutralize the effect of his 10,000 square foot house and his excessive energy consumption there by having some trees planted, and that's going to decrease his carbon footprint. They've come up with this new word, carbon footprint. And so Al Gore is going to have these trees planted and take that. Trees will take the carbon dioxide out of the air, and so it's all right for him to pollute.
Right. And, of course, he uses forms of power and so forth, of windmill power or other types of power that do not create the kind of greenhouse gas, carbon dioxide emissions and so forth. What really, really impressed me was that Senator Inhofe, who is a real hero on this issue, by the way, Senator from Oklahoma, nailed him, literally nailed Al Gore to the cross, as it were, back in March when they had the Senate hearings on this, and Al Gore was giving testimony. He challenged Al Gore to conform his way of life to the average standard of American. And, of course, Al Gore tried to weasel himself out by saying that he's using all this green energy and so forth. And Inhofe pulled out a London Times article that was just written the day before, I guess, on this, that basically said this is nothing more than a con job by the wealthy and the elite to avoid the kinds of things that they're calling for everyone else to do, and it will not help global warming whatsoever. And Al Gore didn't have a place to go. He literally just kind of shut up and went on to the next subject and so forth. And his house itself uses 17 times more electricity than the average American. True, it is a larger house,
And I'm not saying that wealthy people shouldn't have larger houses. I mean, they're entitled to that. But even so, it's 17 times the average size, the average use of the American people. That's way more in proportion. That 10,000 square foot house uses way more energy than a 10,000 square foot house would if you and I were living in it.
Well, Chris, Al Gore gives hypocrisy a bad name, but anyway, Chris, I think people have to understand that certainly there is a problem with air pollution, and we've done amazing things cleaning up the air. We have some of the cleanest air in the world. I mean, you should go over to China, but you have to understand the Kyoto Protocol doesn't apply to China. It doesn't apply to India. It only really applies to the United States. It doesn't apply to France because they have nuclear energy over there. And, of course, many of the places in Europe and Japan do. We developed nuclear energy, and we've been blocked from using it here in the United States by the same environmentalists who, of course, are calling for the draconian changes in America. The wrenching transformation of America was the term that Al Gore used in his first book, Earth and the Balance. So, Sidney, do you think we can get enough Americans to understand what's really going on, Michael? It's vitally important that we block the Kyoto Protocol and all of these draconian steps, which will cripple our industries, and, of course, their real goal is to get us out of our cars and onto bicycles.
I think the Kyoto Protocol is probably dead. I really do. I mean, it's too early to tell yet, but I think George Bush in this last G8 meeting this month put the death nails into it. And what he's coming up with is a whole different technique. And parts of it are very good. If you really wanted to control greenhouse gases, then their best probably way of doing it is using the free market to try to drive this decision rather than to impose it upon people. However, the question still comes, Stan, why do we want to elevate the control of our economy up to an international level? In this case, it looks like it's going to be the NAFTA type of relationship between Canada, the United States, and Mexico, the North American Union that seems to be coming together now. They're going to control how much energy and so forth that we can use under the George Bush plan. And ironically, the guy that he just named to be the president of the World Bank, it starts with a Z.
Right, Zolik, something like that.
Zolik, yeah. He is right in George Bush's hip pocket on this. He basically is one of the big pushers of this North American Union. And he's going to make this happen from the offices of the World Bank. If you look at how they have put their people into the various key positions around the United States, around the world, it's phenomenal we survived as long as we have. It really is. They are in position where they can basically control almost everything at this particular point in time. Robert Zolik is his name, yes. And Bush is right up to his eyeballs in this, and we need to stop it. And I think the only way we can do that is by getting things, this kind of information out to people. I'm going to be trying over the next couple of weeks to promote this to make it cheap enough for school systems to buy it. Because one of the things that scares me to death is that Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth is being shown time after time after time to these classes. All levels of classes, from fifth grade up to high school and so forth, they're seeing it 5 and 6 times. This is nothing but pure indoctrination.
Well,
unadulterated indoctrination.
I think you're absolutely right. Well, let's talk about a couple of things. What about the fact that the polar bears are all disappearing because of global warming? I mean,
They're not disappearing. They're not disappearing. I hit that particular issue head on in the DVD. It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous to even thinking about the fact that the polar bears are in danger. What you're seeing, in fact, out of the 14 major populations of polar bears in the Arctic Circle, only one is declining. All the others are either stable or they're increasing at this particular point in time.
But you know, the only picture we ever see is that lonely polar bear on this little ice floe. Pathetic look on his face.
Ladies and gentlemen,
people don't understand that bear is not going to drown when he falls off the ice floe. They can swim 100 miles looking for seals.
They can swim 100 miles, that's right.
And so basically, but they've implanted that picture in your mind of that poor, pathetic-looking polar bear.
The one thing that you can be sure of, Stan, is that the way they have approached this global warming thing is right off of Madison Avenue. It is a slick job, a snow job, par excellence. They have covered all the bases to get you to believe what they're telling you, to swallow it whole cloth.
Yeah,
and the polar bears are just one example. And remember, folks, that there have been periods over the last 10,000 years where it was 2 and 3 degrees warmer than it is right now. What the polar bears are facing, they faced many times in the past.
And they've always survived, and they're actually far more polar bears now than they were 25 years ago. But you're never going to hear that from Brian Williams or from the people on 60 Minutes, who are determined to convince you that the global warming is going to get us all. Well, Michael, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program here, and I think it's such an important issue. So
it is.
Basically, how are you going to address the remarks about the fact that the snows on Kilimanjaro are actually melting?
Well, the snows on Kilimanjaro are melting not because of global warming, but because of change of land use as its base. There's more land being converted to agriculture and so forth, which puts less moisture on the atmosphere, less condensation, and therefore less snow. It's been shown conclusively that the snows of Kilimanjaro have nothing to do with global warming and everything to do with land use. And this could go on, and we can describe all of these things, and it would take 2 hours to do so, and we're not going to do that. But the fact is that we need to bring the truth to your neighbors, to your coworkers, and so forth. And one of the ways that I'm convinced could be done, I've done a very professional job on this video. It is outstanding.
Well, I hope you're going to send me one of the preliminary ones as soon as you...
Right, we've already gotten the mail for you.
Thank you so much. And, 60 Minutes had a program. They sent Scott Pell all the way down to Antarctica to take pictures in one of the bays there of these big chunks of ice falling off the glaciers into the ocean. The idea, of course, that the ice is all melting on Antarctica. How do you respond to that?
Well, let's face it, we are facing warming, and we will see some of that. But there is no question, both in the interior of Greenland and the interior of Antarctica, it's actually getting colder and it's accumulating snow. And I go into that and show you exactly, or not snow, but ice. I'll show you exactly, and some of it's pretty phenomenal. I mean, this is very, very phenomenal when you understand exactly what's happened over the last 50 to 60 years. How much ice has accumulated, not melting, it's accumulating.
In fact, they tell this story about one of the planes that went down in Greenland during the Second World War, and it just was left there, on top of the ice when they evacuated the people, and now it's buried about 30 feet or 40 feet down.
No, it was 268 feet below the ice surface.
All right, you got me on that one. Anyway, can you imagine that during this time when the CO2 in the atmosphere was increasing? God bless you. Michael, it's always a pleasure having you with us. Thanks very much for being here tonight.
Thank you, Stan.
Good night. God bless.
Good night. And
our guest has been Michael Kaufman, and his DVD, as soon as it's out, we'll have it available here. He's making it very, very inexpensive. We want you to get the information. We want you to help get us out. We've got to let the American people know the truth, which they're not going to get through the regular means of a dissemination of information in America, because it's almost all controlled. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we certainly need to remind our leaders that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. Now, if you really want to understand global warming, we've got a couple of 4-tape sets on global warming. We've got certainly my sustainable development syllabus that deals with this whole concept of regulating the people of this world under the guise of environmentalism. If you'd like to see a copy of the Santa Cruz Agenda 21, we have a copy of that. This tells you what is really planned. It's designed after the International Agenda 21, and it has to do with actually getting people out of their homes, cutting back on the use of water, cutting back on the use of fossil fuels, cutting back on their industrialization, regulation of every form of life, cutting back on meat consumption, stopping the grazing of horses because they trample the little flowers, taking about half the land of the world and putting into wilderness areas, another 25% into intermediate areas, and 25% where the people live, and then drastically reducing the world's population by four-fifths or more. If you'd like to verify that, you need to get our material on population control. You need to get our sustainable development syllabus. You need to get National Security Study Memorandum 200. Came out over the name of Henry Kissinger back in 1974. And, of course, this deals with American policy. And what's American policy? Population control. Now, you can get that on the Internet. You can pull it down, NSSM 200, or you can get it from us all nicely bound. And, I think it's up to you. But you need to have it. You need to read it. You need to understand there is a master plan. If you have not yet seen my talk, None Dare Call It Genocide, or the expansion of that talk, which is called Planned Population Reduction, my talk on population control, a four-tape set on population control, you need to get this. If you have not read Dr. Garth Nicholson's book, Operation Daylily, going into how they're creating new and terrible chronic diseases that are affecting people all across America. And remember, Dr. Nicholson is one of the leading scientists in our country. You need to get his book. Well, AIDS, Ebola, it's called Emerging Viruses, AIDS, Ebola, and Other Diseases by Lenny, Dr. Horwitz, is a must reading if you want to know where AIDS came from. My book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, deals with the fact that they did everything they could to block the use of public health techniques to stop the spread of this terrible disease. So, if you'd like, of course, all of this and so much more is available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And I suggest to you begin to challenge this. Could this really be true? Could global warming be a scam? Well, I suggest our 2 4-tape sets on global warming. And certainly when Dr. Kaufman's tape becomes available, we should get it. We carry a book called Unstoppable Global Warming. And then I think we have politically correct book on global warming as well. We're supposed to carry that, but I know we have the Unstoppable Global Warming, excellent book. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like information. 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. And behind all of this, the dark spiritual forces that rule the world. And that's the Brotherhood of Darkness and the Forbidden Secret. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, this evening they're the views of Melody Cederstrom, who supports Radio Liberty, and we certainly support her effort to get people educated about what's going on. Hello, Melody. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Well, anything exciting happening at your end of the country, back there in Pennsylvania?
Oh, all kinds of things are happening here in Pennsylvania. We're having a very severe gypsy moth attack on our trees here in central Pennsylvania. And what concerns me is they talk about it being more severe next year, and they want to do aerial spraying. So I don't know how they're going to attack all the trees that are around here and on the mountainsides by aerial spraying, but usually when they do any type of spraying, it certainly affects people and their breathing and so forth. So we'll just have to see. But those little buggers, they sure are devastating. But I believe it's just another sign of another, you know, we've seen so many changes across the country. We have droughts, we have our wheat crops, our everything is signs show how difficult our food supplies are going to be, the changes in the climate, and I'm not so much a global warming person, but we're certainly going through some changes in our climate, and whether they be temporary or whatever they're from, and whether, you know, it's more signs of what we've done, you know, as a it's just another sign, but we see it. I guess there's places in this country that are flooding, and I know parts.
And other places where there are tremendous droughts, certainly in the southeast, there's a tremendous drought there. And mm-hmm. certainly the greatest, the worst drought in 100 years in Australia, worst drought in 100 years in Ukraine. So we're having all these weather problems, and then we're having the problems with the bees disappearing.
Yes.
And we're going to have real problems as far as our crops are concerned, and then they're getting contaminated with genetically modified foods that we don't know what they do to human beings. And could it possibly be we're going to be moving towards a famine of biblical proportions?
Certainly a possibility. I mean, we mentioned that the rain is falling in all the wrong places in the U.S., and I believe so. I mean, you have the food that is, I mean, we import a tremendous amount of food, and certainly everyone knows about the tainted gluten from China, and I recently read where China produces, 90% of vitamin C to the world, and, I mean, they have no regulations, and you know what, they just flat out don't care. So we certainly have our hands full. And prices, and it's all indications of higher and higher prices.
And what a wonderful way to poison the entire American population. Many of them are taking vitamins, and most of them are coming from communist China.
Yes.
And has anybody thought of the implications? Are there really people elsewhere in the world who hate America, who hate Americans, who would like to destroy our country? Oh, no, that couldn't happen. We're such nice people. But what about the people over in China who are making the foods and vitamins we consume? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're going to be talking, of course, about finances for this next hour. And I think it's so important that people understand how finances work. First of all, we do not have a free monetary system. We have a controlled monetary system. We have a central bank that creates money, and of course it regulates interest rates. So if they want, of course, to be prosperous, they increase the amount of money, they lower the interest rates. You can go out and easily borrow money and spend money, and of course as people, more and more people spend money, more and more people live well and they're prosperous, and as long as the interest rates are low and you get money readily, everything's fine. And a lot of fortunes are made, at least ostensibly made. And then, of course, when inflation begins to get out of control or at the whim of the bankers, they can begin to raise the interest rates. Money's harder to get. They can begin to cut back on the availability of money. And then they can create depressions or recessions or panics. And I think we're just beginning to see this here in the United States as we begin to see our interest rates beginning to rise. Certainly they're still pouring the money out through the Federal Reserve System, massive amounts of money to keep this thing from falling apart. But money is getting harder and harder to borrow. And I think that down the line, although not quite now, but certainly give us another year and a half, I think it's going to be very difficult to borrow money, and at that point, I think there are going to be tremendous repercussions about this fiat money system we have, not only in the United States, but all throughout the world. And one of the interesting things is people are getting uncertain. They're not buying as indiscriminately as they have in the past. What are your thoughts on that, Melody?
Well, I agree with you, and you know, with the world currencies, they're all fiat. They're not any different than what our currency is. The only difference is we happen at this point in time to be the reserve currency of the world. But more and more countries are allowing precious metals to be available to the individuals. More and more countries are allowing their individuals, their citizens, to own gold. Just recently, an ETF was opened for the German investors, and it's the first time precious metals were available. They have a basket of metals that consist of platinum.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Melody is saying that people in other countries now are beginning to buy metals. She was talking about an exchange-traded fund. They're called ETFs over in Germany. I hadn't heard about that. Well, what's that all about, Melody?
Well, it's just a basket of metals, and they each have a percentage of platinum, silver. It has the four metals, palladium and gold. And gold, of course, having the highest percentage in this basket. But it's the first time that investors are allowed to have access to precious metals. So it's happening, and you hear more and more. Even China has allowed their citizens to purchase gold. It's happening around the world, and because these are all fiat currencies, just like in the 70s. When they took us off the gold standard, they realized what was going to happen. They realized that there would be rampant inflation, and how do you think they protect themselves? So they write the laws in order to allow ownership to the citizens, and it wasn't to benefit the citizens of the country. And to me, the way I view it, it was to benefit them. Because most of the laws that they pass are strictly for the benefit of themselves. So, you know, they take away a currency backed by gold, and then they allow the citizens to own gold again. So, so we mentioned many times it's all done by design. It's their agenda, and you can follow it, and you can see the process. You can see each step that they make. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily happen immediately. It can take years for the next step, for them to pass the next step. But I believe we're coming close to the completion. Maybe not the completion, but maybe to another step to their end, to their end of their, you know, unit of global.
Well, of course, you have to have some sort of discipline because governments and politicians will not act responsibly. Today, we're running at 11% inflation. If you believe what the government says, you probably believe that we went into Afghanistan to catch Osama bin Laden, and then just, oh shucks, we didn't know what we were doing. And then you probably believe we went into Iraq because of the weapons of mass destruction. Now, neither one of those is true. And, of course, the inflation rate is not 2 or 3%. The inflation rate, if you take out everything going up in price, is 2 or 3%. They take out fuel, they take out food, and everything else that's going up. The real inflation rate in the United States today is somewhere between, well, some people say it's only 8%. I think Bob Chapman says 11%. Am I right there?
Yes, and I mean, he even raised it today. He said, maybe even close to 13%. So, I mean, it's an incredible...
So basically, of course, and then, of course, the M3, mm-hmm. which is the real figure that they're using. They're no longer publishing it because they don't want you to understand what's happening to credit. And basically, that rate's going up about 13%. Now, it's not just in the United States. It's all throughout the world. And eventually, of course, the whole system falls apart. And for your people out there who would like to understand what the elitists are thinking, there's an excellent article, I think it was last month's Foreign Affairs magazine, on global currencies. And the basic idea is we're going to have to move to a global currencies because all of the local currencies are failing. And they don't even know how long the euro will be able to be maintained. And one of the most interesting suggestions was the idea of having private people, responsible people, issue money. Now, this is the way it used to be done. The banks used to issue money, and the banker was responsible for it and not letting it get out of hand. And not only a privately issued money, but a gold-backed privately issued currency, a world currency. And, of course, they even concluded the article mentioning a global currency, although they did not mention a second time the gold backing. But gold backing is the only means you have of keeping people honest. That's why it's been used for thousands of years as the basis of a monetary system. And I believe that we're probably going to go to something like that because there's no way in the world you can trust the politicians or governments to act responsibly.
I agree. And there will be a unit of trade throughout the world. And I agree, it will be gold. I don't think it will be the euro. And it will be a separate unit, and whether it be issued privately, or which I would think it almost would have to, but it would have to be acceptable with all the governments of the world to accept. And and that brings me back. I received a question. Perhaps this isn't the right time to bring it up, but I received a question from one of your listeners this week and wanting to know if we could address again the situation of government confiscating gold during a so-called emergency. I received a question from Teresa from Queens, and I didn't know if we should address that now or if you would like me to save that for later. Or
well, I think it's something. In fact, I just got the executive order that was issued in 1933 by President Roosevelt, where he seized the gold from the American people. And if you would like to see it, we do have it. It's available through Radio Liberty. And it's very, very straightforward. Turn in your gold, or we're going to send you to prison, $10,000 fine, and 10 years in prison. I don't know how many people they arrested. I don't think they arrested very many. I think most Americans just, of course, they obeyed their law because they trusted the government. And of course, they were betrayed because as soon as they got the gold in at $20 an ounce, they doubled the price. So, I think it's a very legitimate question, a legitimate concern. Now, the one thing that they did exclude was coins that could be considered collectible. Their definition, I haven't really read, but if they were collectible coins, that was all right to have. And but what if they do decide to do it again? People are going to have to make the decision. That's why you want to be diversified. You don't want to be all in one thing. Certainly, you may want to have a gold, and I think that it's an excellent thing to have. But I think you want to have some silver. I don't think they're going to nationalize silver. I don't think they're going to nationalize platinum. So I think you have to have all sorts of things, and then you're going to have to start thinking about, am I going to obey what I believe is a dishonest law? That's the other thing is, I mean, this is obviously an illegitimate government that wants to take away gold, which is the only foundation for a financial system. Last time they took it away, as soon as they took it away, they doubled the price. Did they compensate the people who turned it into $20 an ounce? Of course not. The purpose of government is to steal from the people. And I would suggest anybody who wants to understand the part that gold plays in our monetary system should go to the Google and put in Alan Greenspan 1966 essay on gold, or 1966 essay, and you can pull up what Alan Greenspan wrote in 1966. It's as true today as when he wrote it. Gold is the only means of protecting your wealth.
I hear many times from clients that they just don't believe they'll confiscate gold again, because, and you hear the same reasons, and I believe it will be a debate always until, you know, they probably do. I believe there's a very real chance that they will do it. I mean, if they continue their plan for a cashless society, they're certainly not going to allow the public to readily protect their wealth when that's the one thing that they're after. You know, they don't want people to have their wealth. They're basically stealing it through inflation, and it's all been by design. So yes, people can protect themselves against confiscation. But what happened in the early 90s was confiscation was used as a sales tool to get people to buy whatever the dealer wanted to sell them. And so they, instead of using confiscation as a, and maybe people don't like to be educated, I do, so they can make an informed decision, they used it more as a tactic. And that is wrong. I have many clients who want to be 100% protected against confiscation. I have people who want to be diversified, and then I have people who really don't care. And you know, they have the, you know, the thoughts, well, they're not going to get it anyway. And I always say to that, well, then what good does it do you if you can't use it? So at least get something for just in case. We always want to be prepared. And when we understand that they did this once and the possibility that they could do it again, well, you would think that it's just reasonable to prepare. And again, that comes back to the diversification of your portfolio. So, I mean, there's valid reasons why they would do it again. And it's not to be a fear tactic by any means, but just something that you should be aware about, to know what constitute as a collectible coin nowadays. And you don't have to go into the really rare coins to be protected from confiscation. You can go into the semi-numismatic coins, and the semi-numismatic coins basically works in two markets. You know, they move along with the spot price of gold, but they also take advantage of the rare coins. So you really, your coins are in a two market, and it works two ways. So,
all right. Now, what are the semi-numismatic?
Well, the new definition that was, you know, and it's always difficult to find, but rule of thumb is 50% more than the gold content.
All right, hold on. We'll be back in just a moment with Melody Cedarstrom right here at Radio Liberty. All right, Melody, go right ahead. So you're saying a coin 50% more than the gold content. Would that be, what, a $20 gold piece, an MS-64, MS-66, something like that?
Well, we wouldn't want it to go into the 66s, but you're pretty much looking at the cusp would be a 63 Liberty, and that's really borderline. You really do have to scoot up to the Mint State 64 Liberties and the 65 Saints. You can get some fractional pieces. You can get some Mint State 62, like $5 gold pieces. They fit those guidelines. So there's various coins within the different coins that would match that criteria. You can even pick up some almost uncirculated, I think they were $5 Indians. I compared them the other day. $5 Indians that actually matched the criteria of the 50%. And those are the bid prices, not the retail prices. So there's different coins. And again, there's a wide range of selection that you can choose from to protect yourself against confiscation. And this is without going into the rare coins. They did the, when they were counting confiscation as a tool to sell clients rare coins, the whole group of coins, the whole group of U.S. coins got a bad rap. Nobody wanted to touch them. Well, there's nothing wrong with the coins. It was the dealers that sold them to the wrong people and the wrong prices and at the wrong time. So the coins didn't do anything. It was the misrepresentation of the product, and because they were selling the rare coins, in which they did make more money on those coins. You know, I make the same thing on a Mint State 61 $20 Liberty as I do on a Mint State 65 St. Gaudens. So, I mean, my sale of the coin isn't, you know, generated or motivated by any increase in premium. It's the same. In fact, some of my higher grade coins I usually sell for less than some of the different coins. So being educated and knowing what the different coins do is very important. And I know so many times you hear different, you know, someone can sound very convincing, and so you know, maybe you need to do a little research or just call Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And if you hear of a good buy or you hear of something, we'll call. And if it's a good buy, I'll tell you. You know, I'll tell you to go get it, you know, scoop it up. It's a good buy. If it's not, I'll tell you the reasons why. So I'm always available. So if you have any questions, you can always direct them to me.
Well, I think that people have to realize that there are a lot of sharks out there in the water, and you have to be very, very careful. And I think Melody's got an excellent reputation, to be honest. If you're going to be getting into this branch of purchasing, you really have to know what you're doing. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. In fact, Morgan Stanley, I believe it was just slapped with a lawsuit, or they had to pay. I don't have the article in front of me, because they told people they were storing their precious metals. Not everybody would believe, but J.P. Morgan, I mean, yeah, we know what they do wrong, but you wouldn't think that they would tell people that they weren't storing their metals when they should have been. So, you know, a lot of people, I believe, I don't think it was $1 billion worth of precious metals, but it was significant. And so, you know, even if you would think that someone with a, you know, don't ever let anyone store your gold. Always take possession of it. I don't care who it is.
All right, fine. Well, I think people have to be very, very careful today. Some of our biggest banks here in the United States have purchased phenomenal amounts of derivatives. And if those things ever begin to unwind, we may very well lose some of our largest banking institutions. All right, fine. Well, I think if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, give us a call. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. It's really very interesting. Of course, Ford is having tremendous losses. I mean, every quarter, the losses seem to be increasing. As you know, Chrysler has been sold off. Dahmer, Chrysler sold off the Chrysler part. And, of course, the Chrysler employees are going to take a tremendous cut in salary. those that still have jobs. And I think that the remaining employees in the automotive industry in the United States outside of Toyota, are really very worried about their jobs. And even Toyota has announced that they're not going to build any more plants in the United States. In other words, those they're going to have, they're going to continue operating, but they're finding it's actually getting to be cheaper to build their cars in Japan and ship them over here than to build them here in the United States at the union labor we have. Of course, the thing is, what's going to happen when General Motors and China begin exporting cars to the United States? What's that going to do to the competition here? And I think that they're going to be able to build good cars over in China and ship them over here at a fraction of the cost of our contemporary cars. And what is that going to do to our automotive market?
Well, the automotive market was always an indicator of what the economy was doing. So, you know, if anybody needed an alarm to see what the economy is doing, that's just one of them. And I didn't see which firm it was. I don't know if it was Toyota or Nissan. I guess it's the first time that they hired an American executive. And I just thought to myself, well, I'd be selling their stocks, you know, because these American executives anymore, they can't make GM work, they can't make Ford work, so I don't know why they would want to hire an American executive. But it's very difficult to be committed, and it's very difficult to make decisions on your finances, on your pension plans, your funds, your 401s, your IRAs, and it's difficult to it takes courage to go against the stream. It takes courage to say to your banker, you know, I want to do this with my funds. When you have brokers that are telling you that this is a sure bet, it's difficult to say no to them. People are going to have to start protecting what they have if they want to survive through all these cuts. And I can't stress enough that it's all by design. It's just part of their plan, and we're seeing their plan unfold, and it's going to accelerate. Many of these people are dying off. They want to see their plans move into the next area, and so I believe things are going to unfold very rapidly this next year and a half.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I think really what's so interesting and really rather tragic is what's happening to the pension funds. Certainly many of our large corporations, their pension funds are grossly underfunded.
Mm-hmm.
The pension funds that they have are invested in stocks, and I believe, of course, there's going to be a marked contraction of the stock market. And when that happens, of course, there's just not going to be any money in many of those pension funds to meet the demands, of the people who've been made promises. Pensions, health care, things of that sort. Certainly this is true with our Social Security Fund. Mr. David Warren, who's CEO of the General Accounting Office, has said that the federal debt, and I can never remember whether it's $70 trillion or $55 trillion, something like that, it's a figure that's so astronomical that it can never be paid off. And he readily admits there's no way that we can meet all of the things we pledged. We promised free medical care, drugs, Social Security to all these people, and we're bringing in all the Mexicans. We don't have any Social Security fund. Money's already spent. It's a lot of IOUs from the government. And so there is no fund. Everything is a lie. And I really fear that when an awful lot of people get ready to retire 10 years from now, there's not going to be any money in Social Security and Medicare, or even many of the private funds. People are going to have to start making other plans to look after themselves when they retire. Well, Dr. Stan here, we know, for instance, that General Motors and Ford Sydney, their pension funds are grossly underfunded. We're talking about, oh, I forgot what, $30 or $40 billion for General Motors, and something almost as ridiculous as far as Ford. I mean, there's just not that much money to be made out there to fund all of these pension funds, and so it's going to be very interesting to see as this unfolds, and especially if the stock market collapses. And the only other alternative thing would simply be to inflate it all away and then start all over again. In other words, destroy the value of the currency. And there's a Russian general who has made this as a suggestion that this is why we're going to go to into Iran. We're going to go into Iran. We're going to get into a great war. It's going to bankrupt the United States. And that's how we'll get out and escape having to pay off all of our debts. And we'll just leave everybody throughout the world holding dollars and say, sorry, they're not worth anything. Well, let's go to Jeff, who's calling us from Las Vegas. Hi, Jeff. Do you have a question or comment?
I've got a question for Melody.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
Go ahead.
Yes, my question, Melody, I just was happening to listen to a couple major talk radio stations, unfortunately, while I came to Vegas. One by the first name of Sean, the other one by the first name of Jerry. And they were saying, they were commenting that, boy, they've had a lot of callers. They've had to, of course, screen them out, saying that we've got a lot of problems in this economy. But they contend that the economy is just in great shape. Sean's exact words were, the economy is on fire. There are people going to hotels, people going on to vacations. They don't see any difference in the economy whatsoever. How would you respond to that?
Well, look where they get their funds, and look who pays them. And, you know, they just, they're all part of the same group. They get paid by Wall Street. They get paid by all these, I don't want to call them, you know, I listened to Sean one day, and, you know, he's talking about all the Cadillacs that he drives. Well, I'll guarantee you, GM gives them the Cadillacs to say all these wonderful things, so it's no different. They're just repeating what they're told to repeat. I mean, it's all sensationalism, and it's all, you know, I mean, it's all to keep everyone calm. They can't have fear. They can't have a panic until they're ready for the panic. So
what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen to people like them when everything really hits the fan and people realize they've been misled?
All right, we've got Jeff calling from Las Vegas asking Melody, that he mentioned a couple of talk show hosts, one of them was named Sean, who is saying that everything's fine in the economy and everything's great, nothing to worry about. Lots of people out there with lots of money, lots of people going to hotels, and lots of people going out to dinner, and Melody's saying, well, they're, of course, being well paid to try to keep everybody happy, and, of course, Jeff is asking them, well, what's going to happen if things should fall apart? What's going to happen to Sean and these others? So go ahead, Melody.
And another reason he sees these people going to dinner and hotels is the rich are getting richer. And that's who he sees, and that's who he hobnobs with. So the rich are getting richer, and the middle class is gone. So, and that spread is getting bigger and bigger, and the rich are, you know, going around the world. They're traveling. So that's what he sees, and that's what he's comparing to. And when the general populace finds out, I don't think it'll matter. You know, I'm certainly they're not going to turn on him.
I wonder if people like that, if they actually, I think like this, Sean, I think he, in his heart, is a good person. I wonder, could he really be that dense to actually believe what he's saying, or is he intentionally misleading?
Well, I think Jeff, what you have to understand is there is a lot of money out there. I mean, they've created all sorts of money. The world is awash with money. I mean, there are people who have got so much money they're putting into hedge funds with the idea they're going to get a 30 or 40% a year return. And in many instances, they have in the past. It's only really within the last few months that some of these hedge funds are beginning to come unraveled, and they're beginning to find that some of these investments they've made are really not sound. For instance, when they've invested in these packaged mortgages, and now more and more of the people are not servicing their mortgages, and they're not making the payments, and so there were two large Bear Stearn hedge funds that have gone down in the last couple of weeks. People are frantically trying to get their money out, and there's no way, and most of them are going to lose it all. But people will keep thinking that things are going to get better. They're going to listen to Sean, and they're going to keep investing their money in risky things. This is the time to quit taking risks, to consolidate, because I think the ship is beginning to tilt, and it's only a matter of time before we have some real, very real financial problems. Anything you'd like to add, Melody?
No, I mean, I can't determine what's in these talk show host hearts. I mean, that's not for me to judge or to decide or to say, but they certainly do control a lot of the general populace, and in the same way with mainstream media, they're trying to steer the people, and whether they know what it's truly all about, I can't imagine that they're really that dumb, but perhaps they will say what they're told to say.
Thanks a lot, Melody. You are my favorite guest on Dr. Stan. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Well,
Thank you.
My telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Hey, Dr. Stan, who do you have? What guests do you have on your show?
Well, obviously, he's a very, very perceptive fellow.
Yes, and I appreciate it very much.
Is he one of your clients? Do you recognize the voice?
No.
Well, anyway, you've got a nice laugh. And,
actually, that was my dad. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, fine. Well,
I'm just kidding.
I think if you people out there, about 2 years ago, we gave a talk called The Financial Tsunami. And the whole idea is there are all of these various things that are coming together at this time. They're going to impact upon these, certainly on the economy. One of them was the carry trade. In other words, they were going to have to cut back on the carry trade. I mean, this is one of the greatest scams of all time. You can borrow from Japan at 1.5% interest and lend to the United States at 4 or 5% interest. That's really a pretty good scam as long as you can do it. I mean, you're making, it's not costing anything to do that. But there are a lot of increasing uncertainties in the carry trade. And so some of the hedge funds are getting out of that business, although it's still continuing. And they could either borrow Japanese funds or Swiss funds. But the Swiss interest rate's going up, so they're getting out of the Swiss carry trade. They are staying, some of them, with the Japanese carry trade. And then the hedge funds, very highly leveraged gambling efforts to just try to make bushels of money on this, because there's all this money out there that they can make so readily. And then, of course, but the price of oil is going up, and that's going to dampen the economy down the line. Especially when, if I am correct, and we do go to war with Iran, and the price of oil goes up to $70, $80, $90, $100 a barrel, that will have a profound impact on our economy here, which is basically what the Russian general is saying, and I think that'll be my next newsletter. And then, of course, we can begin to see the housing market, and here we're really beginning to see this thing contracting, and the bubble has burst, and certainly the people are not making money. A lot of people are going to lose their homes before this whole scenario is over. And point by point, as you go down the line, all of these things are beginning to point towards the fact that we're in for some very real and serious financial consequences. Would you agree or disagree with that, Melody?
Oh, I agree. The whole world is the whole world is going to hurt from what has happened over the years, and they have to bring the world to its knees. That's the only way they can continue with their New World Order, and everyone will hurt from it, And we will see the, you know, we've been seeing them bringing the third world countries up and ours going down to where we are all on an even keel. And lots of people will be hurt and lots of people will be destroyed financially. And the best thing that you can do is prepare for it. And thankfully there are those who see what's going on and they can begin to protect themselves. And even if the administration, even if the powers to be in Washington, even if they did have the will and to make changes, we still face difficult times. It's just not going to turn around and that was a close one. I mean, to make things right, there's severe problems that we face. So either way, we face terrible things in the near future, economically and around the world.
Well, I think the biggest thing right now facing the United States is the loss of the status as the reserve currency of the world. And we find, for instance, that the Kuwait and the United Arab Emirates and a couple of those Gulf countries are beginning to stop using the dollar as the basis of the currency. We're finding the same thing in South America, where Argentina and Brazil are talking about tying their currency to a basket of currencies, but not to the dollar. Venezuela, Iran, and other countries are no longer selling their oil for dollars. They're going to be selling it in euros, and Russia's doing the same thing. People do not understand that if we lose the reserve status of our dollar, all those dollars, and we're talking about trillions of dollars from overseas, about $2.5 trillion, are going to fund back into the United States. They're going to just roar back in here and totally disrupt the economic base of this country. People have no idea of the inflationary pressure that will be put on the United States. For years we've been able to export our inflation to other countries. But what happens when all that inflation comes home? And instead of having an 11% a year inflation rate, we have 20%. People have forgotten that in 1980 we got up to, what was it? Was it 15 or 16% inflation in the United States?
Yes, it was.
And I guess the only way they were able to stop it was to raise the interest rates well up over 20%. And of course, they just then had to shut down the whole economy. Does anybody have the courage to do that again? Paul Volcker did what was right back in 80. Do you think that Bernanke is going to do the same thing? And the alternative to doing what was right and shutting down the economy totally will be to allow the inflation to continue and then destroy the value of the currency and start it all over again. And as incredible as it may seem, some people are suggesting that's exactly what they intend to do. And if that should happen, it means that everybody who is in anything that denominated in dollars would stand to lose almost all the value of what they have. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out there across America and you have a question or comment, give it this call. If you'd like to talk to Melody. Well, Melody, you know, as you talk to your clients, what are they telling you?
They're concerned. They know that the market, they feel that they've been lucky. If they have stocks in the market, they feel that they've been lucky, and they're ready to pull them out. They're concerned because so many have their 401s, and they have difficult getting to their funds, and they have, you know, they're concerned because if they're not of the proper age, they have to pay the penalties and for the taxes. And that's one thing people shouldn't, when it comes to investments, you know, yes, penalties and taxes are significant, but you shouldn't allow that to keep you from making a decision. And that's where it takes courage. You know, taxes are not going to go down. So whether you pay your taxes now or later, they're only going to be higher later. And if you lose value in your fund, like, what's the point? Protect what you can have, and it does take courage to do so. You can always check with your accounts to see if there are any funds available. So even if you can get it protected somewhat with some gold and silver, it would be better than not having any at all. So these are the concerns, and I have lots of, you know, recently questions have picked up considerably as far as how to go about. We have a lot of first-time buyers for gold and silver. Usually in the past, you know, we have business as usual where it's the gold bugs from, you know, 10, 15, 20 years that have been purchasing, but recently it's been people who haven't had any gold at all. So that's a good sign. It's not like it was when gold was going to $720 a year ago to where they were just calling and wanting to buy it, but I've seen some good signs, and people are doing the right thing.
Well, most major currencies are raising interest rates. Most major countries are raising the interest rates, and the Federal Reserve hasn't raised rates for a year.
Mm-mm.
Now, other countries are raising their interest rates because they're seeing inflation. We're having inflation. We're ignoring it. Most rate hikes are to combat the growing worldwide inflation and the massive creation of money and credit, not only by the United States, but also most major nations. Higher interest rates mean that the leverage buyout that the private equity craze will start to decline. Hedge funds will find it more expensive to leverage their bets, which means less leverage and less hedge fund buying will be used, and the cost of businesses will increase, and the real estate market will be hurt. What we're going to see is the real estate market contracts. It's going to have a profound impact upon people's buying power. Well, let's go to Will, who's calling us from Missouri. Hi, Will. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well, Dr. Stan. Melody, I have a question for you.
Yes, Will.
So often you say quietly move a portion of your savings into gold and silver. Could you just take a minute and talk a little bit about how much at a time is quietly, and over how long a period of a time? How would you go about setting that up so that you weren't trying to ship 100,000 or 150,000 at a time?
Okay. Well, you can ship that amount, and we've had some several, you know, many large purchases, but people need to have an investment plan, and everyone is different. You have to take a look at yourself and your what your plan can be, just as you plan for purchasing food storage and so forth. You also have to do the same with your gold. Rule of thumb, a minimum of 30 to 50% of your assets should be in gold. You can break that down to 80% gold and 20% silver. And these can fluctuate. I have many clients that, in the turbulent times that we face, you know, they have a minimum of 75%. Of precious metals in their portfolio, and many are 100% vested. So it is a personal decision, but a minimum of 30 to 50. And recently I've heard where people are recommending 10%. Heck, even Wall Street and some of your brokerage houses will recommend 10% in good times. So in bad times, you really do need to have a lot more covered than 15 and 30 and 50 should be a minimum. And many cases should be higher.
Before you go on, I want you to get your telephone number and your web page out. I'm derelict that didn't get that before. So let's get your web page and your telephone number out.
The website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. To make sure you spell out the A-N-D, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And the telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And if you'd like to send an email with a question, the email is discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com.
Okay, go right ahead with what you were saying then, please.
Many times if someone is looking to invest a large amount and perhaps the market is fluctuating that we've seen in the past couple of months, they'll cost average. They'll take a certain percent, they'll invest, and maybe they'll set a time schedule, like maybe we'll see what the market is doing in 30 days, and or if gold hits or gold and silver hits a particular price, then they'll go ahead and make another buy. So you can do your own cost averaging if you'd like. But things are very volatile right now. I mean, we could wake up tomorrow, the dollar could crash, and we could have gold rise $100 overnight. So this is something that you also have to keep in mind if you do decide to do any type of cost averaging. I really don't believe that, and I hear it once in a while.
Hold that for just a moment. Go right ahead there.
I hear once in a while that people say, well, I have too much gold. I don't think you can have too much gold or too much silver or not in the times that we face. So you have to be careful. And I recommend customers that if they are in stocks, if they have a certain amount in stocks, they should have an equal amount in gold. So if you have 20,000 in stocks, you should have 20,000 in gold. I had a customer the other day call me. He had probably a minimum of $300,000 in stocks, because he told me he had more, but he wouldn't tell me how much. And he had $8,000 worth of gold. He is so underprotected. And so, you know, he should at least have half and half.
Okay, does that answer your question, Will?
Yes, it does quite well. And in both the Patriot Act and the Civil Asset Forfeiture and Seizure Law have, I think it's a $10,000 maximum that you can transport at any one time without being subject to seizure. Is there any problem shipping more than $10,000 at a time?
No, that's usually going in and out of the countries. If you leave the U.S. or come into the U.S.
Because you can do it, but you have to tell them.
You have to tell them. The U.S. Postal Service, the registered and insured, their package, they will insure up to $25,000. And we, like you, for UPS, we carry separate insurance policies so that we can, you know, ship more if we have to, you know, in one single package.
Well, thank you very much for that answer.
Thank you, Will.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Will calling from Missouri, and we're just about out of time. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners there?
Take a look at what you have for your assets and try to rearrange. It's key to be diversified. Build your foundation and your gold and silver first. And it's good to have a little bit of bullion coins, you know, because I use that as my emergency money, because life still happens. And sometimes you have to sell something. So bullion is a great item to sell. Diversify with your gold and silver. Build your foundation. Then you can speculate a little bit. Palladium might be due very well in the near future with China. And if their automobiles sales continue to increase like they have been. So palladium could be, I don't recommend a lot of it because you're speculating and it's not a monetary metal. But if you feel comfortable and you'd like to just add a little bit, that's okay.
Okay, we're out of time. Good night. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I always enjoy having Melody on. If you've not yet seen my talk on the Financial Tsunami, it's available on DVD or VHS, and there's a syllabus that goes with that that's really got a lot of great information, definitions, information on the history of money and how we got the mess we are. We have a little pamphlet called The History of Money, and it's an important adjunct to understand what has happened in ancient Rome, what happened in ancient Greece, what Plato and Aristotle said about money, and nothing has really changed. There's nothing new under the sun. So if you're interested in getting the Financial Tsunami talk or the pamphlet, The History of Money, why, you can always call us and learn more about it. at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we carry the books, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, and Fiat Money Inflation in France. Why are these important? Because most people don't understand money. They do not understand that our whole system is built upon debt. There is nothing behind our money. And, of course, when it begins to crumble, why, it will just come down like the Twin Towers, I fear. Well, this is the time when I want to mention that there is a spiritual component behind everything going on, and specifically behind our monetary system. And, for instance, you go back and you can read Ezekiel 18, and the Lord told us never to borrow money at interest, never to charge interest. He recognized how important it was to have a stable monetary system. But back in these early 1600s, a man named Francis Bacon actually began advocating perfectly all right to have people borrowing money at interest. Now, the Muslims still won't allow it, but here it was in Christendom. Because of Francis Bacon's influence, we began to create the basis of the modern banking system. Why is that important? Because Francis Bacon is one of the most influential people in America today. And that's why you need to see the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, or, of course, the second DVD, Riddles in Stone. And there you'll actually see the statue of Francis Bacon in the Library of Congress. What is a statue of Francis Bacon doing there? He was one of the leading occultists of all time. And you need to understand the part that he played in creating the America we live in today. That's why you, of course, need to see my talks, Brotherhood of Darkness, The Forbidden Secret. It's a new one, comes with a syllabus. Brotherhood of Darkness comes with a book, or just get the talk. But understand that there really are secret societies. There is a spiritual battle taking place. There is another dimension. There is a spiritual dimension, and some people actually bridge that dimension between where we live and where the demonic beings live. And, I mean, I've gotten material from witches who tell me that, you know, all we do is we just have our rituals and our spells, and we're just trying to contact the beings from the other dimension. If you were to read my my February 2007 letter at RadioLiberty.com, my February 2007 letter at RadioLiberty.com, page 6 of the letter, has quotations from the writings of Alice Bailey. They're really the writings of a demonic spirit named Joachim. And he channeled these writings to Alice. As you read them, you'll find out what is going to happen next, in my estimation, why we are going to war with Iran. That's RadioLiberty.com, February 2007. Read it, understand. And so, well, until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.